Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 96, part 1, No One But Jesus. Today is Friday, May 1st, 2009.
There is hope in Jesus. There is life so real. You can feel like you've never felt before. Like a child who trusts.
April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night, as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
Tonight's message is entitled, No One But Jesus. No one but Jesus. John 3 and 18. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, we've been ministering much lately on messages about salvation, and you may be asking the question, why? Because when we do see people saved, and we see them saved when we minister these messages, of course, and saved people are reminded. A lot of times we have to be reminded from whence we came, and woe be it to the preacher that doesn't preach the gospel. But anyway, we see people understanding it. And although the way of salvation is stated in the scripture in a very easy and the very plainest of terms, yet then there is no truth about which more errors are made. The simple plan of salvation, it's being argued about all of the time. Because the faith which saves souls has been made confusing. It's not confusing, it's been made confusing. It's been proven that all the mysteries of Christ are mysteries simply to the lost because they have a dim vision. We don't have such a dim vision. But sad to say, there are those who know faith personally who then know it experimentally and yet have a very poor definition of it. How many are hearing this? They have a poor definition of they've been saved, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they've experienced the love of God, and they know Him personally, and yet when it comes down to defining the salvation of souls, it ends up in confusion. They think they know, and then they are not sure. There's a song like that. First you say you will, and then you won't. First you say you will, and then you won't. Oh, you understand now, but then you don't understand, and what am I going to do? The song goes on. So they understand their salvation, and then they don't understand their salvation. And it never ceases to amaze me. They are born again so simply. They come to the altar, or they get down in their room when they hear a radio message or a tape. And they simply believe and they come to know Jesus. But after a few trials come into their new life, they think, oh, I'm not born again. Then they start to question their very own birth. And I thought, what if we did that with a natural birth? Would you then deny the existence of your kids because they had a few trials and some failures, or yourself? Well, now you've failed, so your life never was. That's what people think about salvation, though how wrong they are. When you're born again, and that's the way it is. Say amen, somebody. How many are hearing this message? But anyway, they think to themselves, well, you failed, so your life never was. No, it is all the more. It proves you're needed. Are you hearing this? It proves your need for the Lord Jesus Christ all the more. And you know, a lot of times I think people are confused because they don't hear the message. They get tied up in a knothole over there or someplace or visiting with one another, and they don't even hear the message of salvation. So they don't know how to preach to anyone else. Now I want your full and your undivided attention, so we don't have to go over this all the time, you listening on the radio to this tape, and don't confuse the gospel message. Are you hearing this? Oh, Junior, you didn't obey. You didn't make your bed. And so hereby, I start to call you never was or will be. You never existed. Get out of my sight. Now, some parents would like to think that. How many are hearing this? So then I find that many strain themselves trying to describe some part of faith. And then they find they have forgotten another. And in trying to lead some sinner out of some error, they lead them into a worse one. They lead them further away. And so we can take the very simplest thing in all of the world, faith, and lose it in our personal definition. And they have books on faith. My God, I mean, they have books on faith. Lord, they have them. And all it does is confuse people. They aren't simple anymore. I mean, there's volumes on faith. It takes a lot of faith to read all those books, is what it takes. But we lose it in our own personal definition, and we lose it in our own personal, limited, let's say, revelation of what it is. And so tonight, with the Holy Spirit helping me, I will enter into this arena. And with his help, look at five thoughts on faith. Number one, the object of faith, or to what faith looks to. And number two, the reason of faith, where it comes from. Number three, are you hearing this? The ground of faith, what it wears when it comes. And we have a nursery downstairs. Number four, the warrant of faith, or why it dares to come to Christ Jesus. Now, how many are hearing this? Number five, the result of faith, or how it then speeds when it does come to Christ. So number one, the object of faith, or what faith looks at. I am told in the Word of God to believe. Then I say, but what am I to believe? I am told to look, but at what? What is the object of my hope? What is the object of my belief? What is the object of my confidence? And the answer is simple. The object is Jesus Christ. The sinner must come to Jesus to believe on God the Father. Now, in the end, we're going to find a lot of confusion on salvation because the Antichrist is going to cause a lot of it. And you're going to have to know the very simple message of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, or you'll get confused. Now, believe in God is an after result of the faith in Jesus Christ. You can't believe in God until you first believe in Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the door. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way that you can come to God. That's the only way that you can know God is to know Jesus. You see me, you see God. We come to believe in the eternal love of God as a result of trusting in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many say, I would believe in Christ if I knew that I were elect. Are you hearing this? But see, the coming to the Father, and no man can come to the Father but except by the Son. It is the Father's work to elect. You cannot come directly to God. And a lot of people say, well, I believe in God. You can't get to God until you have Jesus. Now, you try to tell a religious person that. Well, I've always believed in God. Well, see, you haven't always believed in God because you can't believe in God until you believe in Jesus. And you can't know your election until you have believed in Christ the Redeemer. And then through the redemption, you can approach to the Father and know your election. You can only know your election when you go through Jesus and go to the Father of your election, who was the author of it. Now, how many are hearing this? Some also make the mistake of looking to the work of the Holy Spirit. And then they look within to see if there's some kind of a certain feeling. Oh, how we love to go with feelings. Oh, how we love to lose our wigs as we kick back and throw our heads back in a frenzy. Then go outside the church and be meaner than hell itself. Say amen, somebody. And we're depending on the Holy Spirit. But see, the feeling. You got to have Jesus. And all these different things you're going to see rising up at the end, they're already here, have been here, but they're going to magnify themselves. And it's going to take away from the work of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing this? Just a minute. I don't want to be interrupted here. Some also make the mistake of looking to the work of the Holy Spirit, I said. And so they look within themselves to certain feelings. And if they find them in their faith, then their faith is strong. If they find that certain feeling, that certain tingling in the inside, then their faith is strong. But if they don't have that certain feeling, then their faith isn't strong. I'm not feeling right today. And so they go by their feelings. I just don't have the same feeling I had last night at that meeting. I just don't have that same feeling I had when I read that certain piece of scripture. I just don't have that certain feeling. You can't go by your feelings. Because your feelings are up and down. See, you go because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very simple. You believe on Jesus Christ despite your feelings. You don't go by them. Oh, I'm tired. I guess I'm just tired today. I am grumpy. I'm out of sorts. I'm off my believing. I'm off my feed. That has nothing to do with your salvation. Say amen, somebody. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I don't be too proud to say you're glad. I'm glad because I felt like bummers today. That right? Isn't that a good feeling after all that if you want to go for feelings, that you don't have to rely on your feelings? Well, folks, it's been a real bummer week, and it's really hard following Jesus. Well, you aren't following him. Because if you were following Jesus, you'd be downright miserable because he'd put you to work and you don't want to do that. You hearing it? Say amen, somebody. See, that's again the thing of coming against the flesh, isn't it? And it's always that way. And so let's don't make that mistake of going by our feelings. Oh my, because people can get at your feelings. Someone gives you that old shut up look. I wonder what's wrong with that. I called a woman today and I said, "Oh, honey, I'm sorry." Said, "Don't call me your honey." My first thought was to, you know, bell her back again, but I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go by my feelings. She wants me to, this feelings to rub off on me, and I'm not going to have no part of it. I said, oh, I almost said, oh, honey, I'm sorry. But the Holy Spirit helping me, I said, Ms., I'm sorry. And then I caught myself that Ms. wasn't just right. So then I got a hold of her name, and I gave her her name, and I said, you'll have to forgive me. I come from the old school. And where I come from, they didn't think nothing of that. You know what I mean? So I'm sorry, and we'll go on with the conversation here. And she got convicted. And I knew by the time that I hung up that her feelings had been attacked by the Holy Ghost. She was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, now I could have went by my feelings and blew it. Right? Oh, I tell you, that's dangerous to do, to go by your feelings. So many people burn their bridges. And they burn different areas where people can help them because of their feelings. I don't want to ever talk to that person ever again in my life. How many are hearing this? I was talking to a person the other day, and they said, you know, that person's only giving 25%. I said, well, hey, praise God, he was only given 10% when he first came. Now he's volunteering his time, he's giving 25%. I says, this is a miracle. I said, so it's better that I have 25% of this man working than none of them. By the way, I said, I have nobody else today. They've only got this 25%er. And I'm going to praise God for him. And it turned out to be 100%er. See, God is always dealing with you, isn't he? So anyway, we look to the work of the Holy Spirit, which is not the object of the sinner's faith. Now listen, and I want you to listen to this well. Both the Father and the Spirit must be trusted in order to complete our redemption. I know all that. We are only justified, we are only pardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so then to be saved, you must look to Christ alone. Now I'll say it again, I must reiterate here, I know it depends on the whole Trinity. But yet the immediate object of the sinner's justifying faith is not God the Father, is not God the Holy Spirit, but God the Son, the incarnate human flesh offering an atonement for sinners. Now how many in here have the eye of faith? Well, then you say to your soul, look to Christ as God. And if you want salvation, believe him to be God over all, blessed over all, and bow down before him and accept him as being the very God of the very God. Because if you don't do that, well, he'll have no part in you. And you'll have no part in him. You have to see Jesus as God. Now that's where you get kind of quiet, because people believe, well, I believe in God. Jesus is the Son. Well, God the Son. But believe in him as God. Come in the flesh to save your soul. Now, if you don't believe that, you have no part in him, the Bible says. But let's go on here. And after you believe this, believe he has come in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, and listen very carefully, because there'll be a lot of arguments against this. That he was a king in heaven that became a servant of servants, and that he became a son of man, and then believe the mystery of his incarnation. Because if you don't, you cannot be saved. Believe in his perfect righteousness. How many believe in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ? See him keeping the whole law, see him obeying the Father perfectly. And by his obedience, we are saved. See that. View him as the lamb before the shearers, a dumb lamb before the shearers, allowing himself to be sheared. View him as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Go with him to Gethsemane and see the drops of blood. And so the object is not within you, but something without. We must look to Jesus Christ alone. See him rise from the dead. See him ascending on high. He is this day yet pleading for all of his people, telling all to come to God through him. Now you got to tell people that. You got to believe it yourselves. A lot of times we lose the message in our definition of faith. In our definition of our walk with Jesus Christ, we lose the main message. How many know there's a deadness because we have lost the main message? How many know there is a boring time in Christianity because we have lost the main message, the blood of Jesus Christ, the cross, the resurrection, the beautiful working of the Holy Spirit? But the main message to the unsaved is you must be born again, and you can be saved by no other name but by the name of Jesus Christ. God incarnate, came here in the flesh, God on earth. Now, how many are hearing this? Now, again, I must say, do not go by your feelings. Don't do it, because there's people sitting in their feelings right here tonight. Say amen. Man, they're sitting in here in their feelings. But say, how do you know that? Because they're sitting here in their flesh. And their flesh has feelings. It isn't all bad, but I say, don't go by them. Don't be led by them. How many are hearing this? How many know you can slap each other up alongside the head with your feelings? I mean, kill each other with your feelings. How many are hearing this? God, I must be hitting home here. I wouldn't be ministering this hard. Say amen. Somebody on the radio, am I hitting somebody in here with on both sides of the cheeks? Put your hand up, get free. Somebody's getting hit in here. Wow, man, wow. Ooh, well, let's go on, because there's freedom in ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, he is as God, as man, as a living, as a dying, as a rising, as a reigning above, and he alone is to be the object of faith for the pardon of sin. He's all that, and he is more. You must trust in nothing else. Don't trust in your feelings. Trust in Jesus Christ. Know that the Holy Spirit will magnify Christ in you. But don't trust in the Trinity, but your faith must have an object, and it's not the Holy Spirit, and it's not the Father. It is Jesus. Say amen. He is the object of your faith. Now, I know people, they don't exact, well, wait a minute, I just want to get in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with praying Our Father in Jesus' name. But remember that the Holy Spirit come to magnify Christ. See, we always want to get into the light fantastic and forget about Jesus. Because I'll tell you why you want to forget about Jesus, because he has you doing things. Now, I've heard people say, I've been praying and asking the will of God for 2 years. I said, well, you haven't reached God. You haven't reached him. You haven't got to Jesus Christ. You haven't listened. You haven't obeyed. Because if you prayed for the Father's will, he'd be having you do something in Jesus' name. You'd be going to the highways and to the byways and ministering unto all creation. You would be feeding the poor. You would be going to the prisons. You'd be going to the hospitals. You'd be seeing the needs of the people. You would be praying as you go. And you'd be excited. And you'd be filled. And you'd be industrious for Jesus. And you couldn't hardly wait to get up the next morning to get busy with what God's got you to do. Say amen. We say, well, how do you know that? Because the object of my affection is Jesus Christ. The object of my affection is to turn my direction from Jesus Christ, my Lord. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing this today? Hey, there's a message within a message here for all that will listen. The object of your faith must be Jesus, and if your object is anything else, it is the Antichrist spirit. If the object of your faith is anything else, it is the Antichrist spirit. And the Antichrist spirit can hit anybody, and it is a spirit of defeat. You ever see anybody walking in the Antichrist spirit? They're sullen, and they got a gait to them. You know what I mean? It's an Antichrist rebellious spirit. It's half loose and it's half tight and it tries to cover up, but it's an Antichrist spirit. Say amen, somebody. When they speak with a voice of defeat. When they get all done, you're down. You don't know what happened. The Antichrist spirit hit you. It's a legal spirit. You can't make it. You aren't saved. You never were saved. You're never going to be saved. That's the Antichrist spirit. How can you tell a spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it's a spirit that goes on. It doesn't bother. It doesn't get frumped out. It isn't frazzled. It isn't nervous. It isn't upset. My God, it just goes on because its object of its affection is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only, and it lays it all on Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do? And it goes ahead with the object of its faith. Jesus, have faith in Jesus Christ. How many are hearing this? Well, do you think sometimes we lose that and we get into the Antichrist spirit? I believe it. I believe that spirit is touching people all over, and it's a defeating spirit. It's a spirit that says, hey, give up. It ain't working. How many preachers say that? Who is ever going to change? Well, it's got to start with you, preacher. You've got to change. Woo! How many are hearing this? I hope you all hear it tonight, because I think the object is something other than Jesus Christ, and if it's something other than Jesus Christ, it's the Antichrist. Now, I've probably said this about 10,000 times, but if your faith save you, that while you look to Jesus Christ in all these matters, you view him as being your substitute. Because the doctrine of substitution is essential to the whole plan of salvation. God, I'm saying, is just and he must punish sin. But God also is merciful and he wills to pardon those who believe in who? Jesus Christ. And how is this to be done, you ask? How can he be just and still give penalty? How can he be merciful and accept a sinner? Well, the sin was lifted, literally lifted off of every sinner in the world. Past glory to God, present glory to God, and future glory to God, and dumped on Jesus. The whole sin package. Now you're talking about God is now and now, here and now, forever. And the whole package of sin was dumped on Jesus Christ. Every sin you can imagine. Everyone. Now, there's none left out. Even the ones that you don't even call sin, like gossip, constructive criticism. All those were put on Jesus. All of them. Even the ones you're going to commit when you leave here. I'm never going to sin again. Well, you're a liar and there's no truth in you. Bible says, any man say he be without sin, there's no truth in him. Say amen, somebody. I'm not telling you to go out and sin. That's between you, God, and your conscience. I mean, what I'm telling you here right now, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Past, present, and literally every sin. Literally every sin was dumped upon him. God punished Christ for your sins. All of them. See, he was the just, but he suffered for the unjust. He was the righteous, but he stood in the place of the unrighteous. Yes, he is the only object of our faith. And the Bible says you must come as children, not as puffed up with your own knowledge, but by simple faith. I thought to myself, oh, how many of us leave the simple road of faith and end up in our own understanding valley over and over and over again? No, listen, you unsaved people, stop using the but what ifs. But what ifs? And you saved ones, never look to self or to works or anything as a foundation of your hope. It makes them the reason of faith. Why does any man believe, and where does his faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. And a person asked me a question, but what about those that don't hear? When the Lord spoke to my heart, you know what he said after this? Is I've questioned this for a long time. Are you hearing this? Now listen, listen. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo, turn around, listen now. You can talk to each other when you leave, you know. The person that doesn't hear has a sense of need. I never heard the gospel till I was 39 and a half years old. Never, but I'll tell you one thing. Well, I probably heard it, but I didn't hear it. You know what I mean? There was a sense of need. And you say, how did you get that sense of need? It was a gift. I knew when I was a little guy, I was doing wrong, and I knew I had a need. I didn't hear the gospel message, but I had a sense. I sensed that I had a need. I sensed that there was something lacking. So you talk about these people over here and over there and all over. Well, they never hear the gospel. They have a sense of a need. And don't you worry about it. The Holy Spirit will come to them, and the Holy Spirit will awaken them, and the Holy Spirit will quicken them, and the Holy Spirit will see that they are saved. Say amen, somebody. They have a sense of a need. Now, you know, we think that, this person way over here, how will they ever be saved? They're way over in Africa. They're way over in here. They're in China where they don't preach. Or they're over in Russia. They have a sense of need. Ooh, how many are hearing this? Yes, he is the object of our faith. How many are getting? I want you to get that tonight if you get anything out of this message at all. Jesus Christ, say that. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith, my faith. My faith, the object, the direct object. See, the minute you get your eyes off of Jesus, you know what? You get your eyes off of life. And when you get your eyes off of life, you start to run down. And that's why people are so run down now. They got their eyes off of Jesus. Bible says, see Jesus only. The object of your faith. Well, now I hear someone saying, does the Spirit teach some men their need and not other men? Why is it, this person asks, that some of you were driven by the sense of need to Christ while others go into their self-righteousness and perish? And there's only one answer to that. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And the final word on that is that God is sovereign. Some will be saved, some will not be saved. Okay? That's the final word. Oh, I hear someone say, that's negative! Too bad! That's the way it is. The Lord hath hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Wow. My sheep hear my voice. Wow. Ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. Ye believe not because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. And so people don't come to Jesus Christ as proof that they were never given. For those who were given of old eternity to Christ, chosen of God the Father, and redeemed by God the Son, these are led by the Spirit through a sense of need to come and lay hold of Christ. They had a sense. Call it what you want to. But God had forechosen these people to come, and only those come that Christ has called. only those that were given. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing this? Oh, my. Ooh. No man ever did or ever will believe in Christ unless he feels a need for him, a desire. And let me add to that, no man ever did or ever will feel his need for Christ unless the Spirit makes him feel. You cannot feel a need for Christ on your own. The Holy Spirit must make you feel a need for Christ. Are you hearing this? You must be made alive. Well, I just thought I felt I had a need to go to Jesus Christ. No. Wasn't you at all. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that made you alive, that made you feel your need, that gave you a sense that you had a need. See, you can't take credit in anything. Well, I just knew it was time for me to come to Jesus. And the Spirit will make no man feel his sense of need to be saved by Jesus unless it is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ooh, now we're getting kind of heavy. Well, don't despise God's prophecy. Despise not. You were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world was founded. He said, I knew you. You were predestinated. You were elected. You didn't come by your feelings. The Holy Spirit put the feeling in you. You're dead in trespasses and sins. So how can you feel when you're dead? There's no feelings for God. No feeling for the spiritual things. The Holy Spirit had to give you a sense that you had a need. And then it had to give you a desire to come to Jesus Christ to fulfill that need. You can boast in nothing. And that's why it just never ceases to amaze me, my God, how some of the legal preachers can get on their neck like they're God themselves. Say amen. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Nothing. Now I know that makes you mad because you knew you had to come to Jesus and you can't. But who gave you that sense of a need? Who made you feel that? Who quickened you? Ooh. God has their names in it, in the Lamb's Book of Life, the chosen. And in short, the reason we believe, the reason of our faith, is God electing, election of love, working through the Holy Spirit by a sense of need. And this is how they are brought to Christ, and this is how we were brought to Christ. By a work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my, my, my. Now I would, if you'll listen, I would like to your undivided attention. Maybe it won't look like I'm making a contradiction here. But the ground of the sinner's faith, or I'm going to talk about that, or on what ground he dares to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've already said this, that no man will believe in Jesus unless he feels his need of him. But let me then repeat this also. I have said many times before, my reason for believing in Christ is not that I feel the need of him, but that I have a need of him. Not that I feel a need for him, but that I have a need. How many got that? You have a need. It's not that you... Well, I feel a need. Nothing to do with it. You have a need. God has put that need within you. I chose you. Don't get uppity with me. I chose you first. I chose to follow Jesus. I felt I had a need, and I'd done enough running around and smoking and chewing tobacco and looking at the girls, and no. Now, I know this kind of takes people down off their pedestals. But it had nothing to do with you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, now, the ground on which a man comes to Jesus is not that he is a sensible sinner. Now be sensible, sinner. You're a sinner. Come to Jesus. No. That's not the grounds on which he comes to Jesus. No. Hear me now. But as a sinner, nothing more and nothing less, a sinner. That's the grounds on which he comes to Jesus. Not because he's, I got good common sense. I'm going to go to Jesus. No, you don't come with that. That's a disguised, puffed up stink. It's disguised, but it's puffed up and it's a stink. You come because you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Get that in your head. You're a sinner and you're going to die a sinner. By the way, there's no one up in heaven but when you get there, but sinners saved by grace. That's where they're all going to end up if they believe on Jesus. But they aren't going to believe on Jesus unless the Spirit quickens them. They don't believe because they believe, because they believe. They believe because they're quickened by the Holy Ghost. They believe because they hear, and they believe because the word of faith comes to them, and now they understand it. Now I got it, huh? And it comes all at once. And why does it come all at once? Because it is a direct revelation via the Holy Spirit to their heart. Oh, what a wonderful working of the Holy Ghost if we'd only let him work on us. Oh, my God. If we'd only let him go on us. And so the ground on which a man comes to Jesus is not because of that he is a sensible sinner. No, it is not. But as a sinner, nothing more. A sinner. And he will not come unless he is awakened. But when he comes, and listen to this, he will not come unless he is awakened. But when he comes, and listen, he doesn't say, Lord, I come because I am awakened. Because I am an awakened sinner, Lord, I come to you. No, that's puffed up again. He doesn't come on that. No, but he says, Lord, I am a sinner, save me. He doesn't boast in being awakened. He doesn't boast, I'm beginning to see the light. No. He knows he's a sinner and his mouth is shut to saying anything else. I am a sinner.
So if you tear the tears